Good morning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel reading is an important one. It's a popular one, for it is a story of restoration and of healing and of one's life being better than it was before encountering Jesus. This young man who threw himself into the water and threw himself into the fire, causing himself harm continually until Jesus came to him through the work of this boy's father, bringing them together so that his life could be restored to him. It's also a gospel reading about small print. Do you know what the small print is? Like when we see a commercial, one of those, I guess, pharmaceutical commercials that it has somebody doing a lot of fun things, very casual, and then those words flash on the screen, then they're gone. And we're not supposed to read them, I guess. Or when we're listening to the radio and it's going to a regular pace of the announcer, and then they fly through things at the end, they cram in all the words they said in 28 seconds into 2 seconds, and then it's done. So the small print is what we really should be listening to, right? It's probably very important. So oftentimes it's buried in the bottom of a contract so that we're not paying attention to it, or it is a lot of detail that's got to be crammed into a short amount of space. Today's gospel reading is a reminder that even Jesus Christ himself uses the small print. He uses those small little details, the mikra leptomeria, that we better be paying attention to. And we don't expect it. So I'll set the table a little bit for what took place just before the gospel pericope or the reading that we heard today. Yes, while it's true that this father came to Jesus asking to cure his son, just moments before, Jesus had just come down with his disciples from Mount Tabor, where he was transfigured. And so he, along with Peter, James, and John, were able to have this encounter with God. Jesus was transfigured before them. They saw his divinity in full light. They've had glimpses of it. They've had examples of it, to be sure. But in order to give them hope and endurance in what was to take place very shortly in his being delivered up to those who would do him harm, he, through the Father's wisdom, showed them his great light. And they departed from that place. It wasn't that long ago that we heard this story, for the Feast of the Transfiguration is the 6th of August. So this is still fresh on our collective minds and the mind of the church. So they come down from this incredible experience, and immediately they find a need that has not been fulfilled. Immediately they encounter a hole, a chasm in someone's life that only Jesus Christ can fill. Because the Father delivered up to him a detail. A detail saying, I went to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything. So now we're coming directly to you. And he cast the demon out of the young man, and he was restored. And the family went away joyfully. We could just picture them all embracing and going away to their home and having a peaceful day for the first time in Lord knows how long. But the disciples were not at peace. They had a lot of anxiety in their hearts at that point. For they then went to Jesus at night, the evangelists tell us, and they asked him kind of sheepishly, why couldn't we do this? They've had a lot of successes before, to be sure. They had already been sent out two by two along with the 70 and come back, and they were rejoicing that the demons were subject to them and they were casting out evil spirits, and they were healing in God's name. They have had many wonderful things that have given them the confidence to have expected that they could have cast out this random demon from this random child, but they couldn't do it. And Jesus tells them that it's because of your lack of faith. We can't chastise them, right? What's the opposite of faith? It's not necessarily sin. It's doubt. And who among us have not doubted at some point? As faithful as we think we are, and at the height of our faith, at the height of our relationship with God, when we feel we know Him as strongly as we ever have, or perhaps ever will, and we feel that we are as deeply in His presence that we've ever been, or perhaps ever will be, there's still, for many Christian hearts, a lingering doubt. Not so much about God, but about us and our worthiness, or rather our lack of it. Have we done enough? Have we pleased Him enough? Have we served enough? Have we been sinless enough? Have we been joyful and faithful enough? There is the evil one always there, trying to doubt, trying to sow seeds of doubt within us. And Jesus tells them, it's because of your lack of faith. For if you have the faith, you look at a mountain, you'll tell it to move, and it will move. But here's the small print. But this kind can only be done by prayer and fasting. So He tells them, you had no faith, you could have done it. Yeah, but wait, there's more. You have to be prayerful, and you have to be one who submits to a fast in order to tackle the incredible spiritual challenges in life. We don't just pray and fast if we're trying to cast out a demon or heal an epileptic seizure. We have to have prayer and fasting in order for us to not throw ourselves into the water, to not throw ourselves into the fire, and to not toss others in there along the way as we're fighting and flaying around in our sin. By prayer and fasting. Yes, it's coupled with faith. Faith is that assured knowledge that our prayer is heard. Faith is that assured and blessed knowledge that our fast is acceptable to God. When we do it in humility, when we do it in secret, when we do it for the right reasons. Prayer connects us to Him. The faith of the disciples alone will not cast out the demon, at least the really ornery ones. Because what is prayer? It's communication with God. It's talking to Him. It's asking things of Him. It's telling things to Him about your life, about the fractures that are within that no one else can see, the desire to push forward, to press forward, and to be an agent of healing and an agent of restoration and love and of service. We have to be talking to Him if we're going to have an opportunity to listen to Him. Because He's not just going to be obtrusive and storm in to the secret places of our hearts if He's not invited. And fasting is important. In much of the Christian world, this is something that is used as a novelty at best, if it's not forgotten completely. And we all know that it's a very intricate part of our tradition, because Jesus Christ fasted, and He commanded His disciples to do so. And He commanded them to do it continually. It was part of His cycle of prayer. When He told the disciples that only by prayer and fasting could this demon be cast out, He was really saying, because that's what I have to do. And if the Son of God is going to be engaged in a regiment, in a discipline of prayer, and if He is going to safeguard what goes inside of Him, then we ought to pay attention and follow suit and do so as well. When we fast, we admit to ourselves and to God our dependency on Him. We realize that every gift is showered down upon us from Him. And when we withhold voluntarily, we are practicing and participating in that blessed knowledge of being true stewards of God, in realizing the gifts are from Him and appreciating them. We humble ourselves before God because we take a wonderful account of ourselves, and we monitor what comes in, and just as importantly, what comes out in our thoughts and our words and our actions. Fasting helps us to sharpen this because we're paying attention when we are prayerfully abstaining from that which we could have or want to have, but choose not to God's glory. So my brothers and sisters, that's the fine print. And it's a fine print that isn't just buried at the bottom of our liturgical traditions. It's actually pretty bold, isn't it? To pray and fast, those are headlines for us. That's the title. It's not the footnote. So let us submit to our own traditions that God gives us for our own benefit, not for His, but for our benefit. Today's gospel reading is proof text of these truths. Yes, indeed, we must be faithful children. But yes, absolutely, we are to be prayerful, we are to abstain, and then there is no mountain or no demon that can stand between us and our loving God. Amen.